It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, spelled M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. Big day here in America. It is Super Tuesday. And so...
Really?
It's Super Tuesday, Producer Steve.
That's not what Uncle Joe said yesterday.
Really?
He called it Super Thursday.
Ooh. Ouch.
He did it again.
It's going to be interesting out there. But before we jump into all that, we have a lot to talk about. In studio with me is Clint Doris. Clint has thrown his hat in the ring. He is running for Douglas County Commissioner. It's great to have you in studio here.
Wonderful to be here. Thank you very much.
So we've got a big show planned. Lauren Levy will be calling in. As you know, he's one of my sponsors. He's with Polygon Financial. And because of the coronavirus, there's always opportunity. When there's panic, there's always opportunity. And this is like historical low interest rates. So if you are thinking about refinancing your home, Lauren's got some things to talk with us about on that. So that'll be in the first segment. We'll focus on Clint in the second segment. And then third and fourth segment, Merlin Klotz, who is the Douglas County Clerk and Recorder, is going to call in and explain the presidential primary here in Colorado, which the ballots are due today, and then the caucuses, which will be meeting this next Saturday, and what that is exactly, because I think a lot of people don't understand that. So we'll be chatting about all of that today. Before we get into it, though, we always are looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. We are seeing this real romance of this narrative of socialism. And, of course, we actually have on the Democrat ticket a Marxist, Bernie Sanders, who may get the nomination. But then we've also got kind of Marxist light, if you will, regarding socialist tendencies for many of these candidates. And the way you can look at something on if you're moving towards socialism is if there is force in that, and there can be code words for force, like require, register, mandate, all those kinds of things. So we'll be looking at those words. If something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to use force to implement it. We're continuing to see the socialization of many different issues across the spectrum. Before we jump into all that, though, I always like to say thank you to the team. Thank you to Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie for all your hard work. And thank you to each of you listeners. You're each your treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose. Today, go out and strive for excellence and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Our inspiration for today is Jack Welch. He was the head of GE, General Electric, for many, many years. And he just passed on within the last couple of days. And he transformed General Electric into a highly profitable multinational conglomerate and parlayed his legendary business acumen into a retirement career as a corporate leadership guru, and he died at the age of 84. And in his 2005 book, Winning, Welch wrote that he would like to be remembered as a huge advocate of candor and meritocracy and believing everyone deserves a chance. And I'd like to be remembered for trying to make the case that you can never let yourself be a victim. So that is Jack Welch. Okay, Steve, are you ready for the funnies?
Ready.
Okay. A politician visited a village ahead of an election. When asking the local residents what were the two biggest issues they were concerned about, someone spoke up from the crowd and said, "Well, we have a hospital, but no doctor." So the politician immediately pulled out his phone, dialed a number, spoke briefly, hung up, then told the village attendants a doctor had been sourced and will arrive the day after the election. Then the politician asked, what was their second concern? The reply was, secondly, sir, our village does not have cell phone reception anywhere. Boy. Okay, since it is Super Tuesday.
You know, I have to go back and say, I don't know, I'm sure that's so funny because that kind of pretty much the way it works.
It can work that way. Since it's Super Tuesday, you said you had a soundbite that you found yesterday, Steve.
Yeah, let me get it dialed up here. I don't know. I can't figure out how this guy keeps pressing on the way he is, but here he is in all his glory.
Okay.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the thing.
That was Joe Biden.
That was Uncle Joe.
You know, that is one of the things we would hope people would know would be the Declaration of Independence and the vision there.
And that's the brief version of it. I don't know why I couldn't find the longer one. It's like everyone's trying to cover up here. I heard the original. I mean, he stammered and yammered on for another 15, 20 seconds before he finally got back on track.
Wow. Okay. Let's continue on, though. I did want to mention, I listened to Michael Bloomberg on the town hall last night. I didn't hear the whole thing. But the reason that he says that he should be president is because he is a good manager. And I think actually leadership should have some vision of where we're going and what we're about. And I was a little bit astonished on the fact that he thought he was a good manager, and that means that he should be president. But our bill of the day, because I think we'll be talking with Lauren here in just a moment. This is going to be signed into law here in Colorado. It's House Bill 20, 1048. It's concerning a prohibition against discrimination based on a person's traits that are historically associated with race. It is called, it says, the bill enacts the Creating a Respectful and Open World for Natural Hair Act of 2020, also known as the Crown Act of 2020, which specifies that for purposes of anti-discrimination laws in the context of public education, employment practices, housing, public accommodations, and advertising, protections against the discrimination on the basis of one's race includes hair texture, hair type, and or a protective hairstyle commonly or historically associated with race, such as braids, locks, twists, tight coils or curls, cornrows, Bantu knots, afros, and head wraps. The Crown Act wins final approval in our Senate, and now it's off to the governor, and he has 10 days to sign that. You know, when we start to look at the proper role of government, this seems like this is way out there. There should be a relationship between the employee and the employer. The employer can say, this is our specifications on what we would like for our employees. Employees can say yes or no. They can find a different employer or they could start their own business. I'm just shocked that we are putting something into law like that right here in Colorado. It is most shocking. Let's see. I think that's about all I need to say on that. I mean, this is just really putting employers in a situation where they could be sued for who knows what. We're going to go on to a few headlines here. The next one is, this is from the Boulder Daily Camera. Colorado Speaker of the House Casey Becker is drafting a bill to reform the University of Colorado Board of Regents. A copy of the draft bill sent to the Daily Camera lists Becker, she's a Democrat from Boulder, as the sole sponsor. Now, the regents for the University of Colorado are elected by voters. And as you know, the University of Colorado receives a significant amount of tax dollars. And so I think it's a good idea that we actually have a voice in who is running the show over there. And it says there are 7 seats representing each of Colorado's congressional districts, but Becker's draft bill proposes eliminating the election process and creating a bipartisan legislative committee to nominate candidates for vacant regent seats who would then be voted on by the General Assembly. Whether lawmakers can change the Board of Regents is also up for debate, as the board's makeup and selection process is currently guided by Colorado law and the state constitution. The Constitution dictates that there are 9 CU regents elected for 6-year terms, and statute outlines the election process, that 7 of the regents must live in and be elected by the Colorado's 7 congressional districts, and that 2 regents are elected by the entire state. Once again, this is somewhat shocking to me to have legislators decide that if they don't like the way people are voting, that then they're going to take away their right to vote. And I think that is a real abuse of power. Another headline that I'd like to go through is from the Sentinel in Colorado, or Sentinel, Colorado in Aurora. And it says, this is by Dave Gruber. It's an op-ed, and he's on the Aurora City Council. He said, Aurora's about to supersize nannyism with health kids law. Council member Angela Lawson, I know Angela, I like her, but I don't really like her policies on this because it's taking away freedom. Council member Angela Lawson introduced a healthy kids ordinance during an Aurora City Council study session that would restrict kids' meals throughout the city. The presentation began with statistics identifying some communities of color as having overweight children. It was followed with a discussion where medical groups asked for council's help in eliminating sugary drinks from kids' meals by mandating menu changes. There's that force word, mandating menu changes, and enforcing, there's another force word, the change with city code inspectors. They contended this action would help prevent parents from making bad decisions. Dave Gruber says, several of us spoke against government control of restaurant menus. We said education, in partnership with key organizations, would allow parents to make informed decisions for their children. We only had 4 votes for an education alternative and needed 6, so we lost. By 11-1 of 2020, restaurants shall only include water or milk in their kids' menus, or the restaurant will be cited and potentially fined by the city. There's a couple more force words, cited and potentially fined by the city. If parents want to buy any other drink, they can, so long as it's not included on the kids' meal menu. You might want to ask what might happen if a parent wanted to substitute a drink other than water or milk. And Dave said he spoke with the Colorado Restaurant Association about that issue. Their response was that if it will be up to each restaurant to determine whether they freely substitute or charge for the drink. Keep in mind that every restaurant in Aurora that offers kids' meals will be mandated to change their online Grubhub and Uber Eats menus. They will also have to repaint their wall menu and reprint all of their paper menus. This is not a minor expense for many of the small restaurants in the city. Some restaurants say they lose money on each kids' meal they sell, but they offer them to draw families in. Given the expense of this ordinance, they may simply stop offering kids' meals. And there you have it. That's typically what happens, is there's always a reaction to every action. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, as you know, one of my valued sponsors is Hooters Restaurants. And it's so exciting. The Avs won again last night, and they are second place of the Western Conference Central Division. And they'll host the Anaheim Ducks tomorrow night. The Nuggets are in second place also in the NBA Western Conference. So if you, and you know, Rock Chalk Jayhawk, March Madness is right around the corner, Steve.
There's that shameless plug again. Continue.
Okay, the place to watch all these games is Hooters Restaurants. They have plenty of TVs, so you won't miss any of the action. Wednesday is Dine and Wing Day, all the wings you can eat for $15.99. And they have these new roasted wings. You don't want to cook. Drop by Hooters Restaurants, pick up dinner to take home, or you can have Hooters wings delivered right to your front door. More information, check out my website, kimmunson.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Clint Doris, who is running for Douglas County Commissioner, is in studio, and we'll chat with him about why he's throwing his hat in the ring. We'll be right back.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim@kimmunson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That is kimmunson.com, spelled MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And in studio with me is Clint Doris. He has thrown his hat in the ring to run for Douglas County Commissioner. Clint Doris, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So why on earth would you throw your hat in the ring to run for public office?
Pretty crazy for sure. But, you know, we just felt called to it as a family. We had the pleasure of chairing a committee for the Douglas County Commissioners to increase school safety for our children after the tragic STEM shooting. And that went pretty well, if you will, given the tragedy. And after that, a number of people started asking me if I would run for office. And of course, I said, why would I ever do such a thing? But my wife and I and the family put it to prayer. And over the course of maybe 5 or 6 months, we really felt like that's what the Lord was calling us to do. Mm-hmm. And we're in Douglas County for kids. Mm-hmm. And so we started looking at, well, what's the vision of our county? You brought up vision earlier. Mm-hmm. And Jack Welch, in fact, was a great visionary, right? And when I was at Boeing and went through some Boeing's VP Charm School, he was one of our guest speakers, in fact, which was pretty amazing. But, you know, once we started looking at what's the vision of the county, we started recognizing that there really wasn't something out there for the entire county. I don't mean just for the government institution called Douglas County. I mean the entire county. And so that's a problem, right? Mm-hmm. Just as you mentioned earlier, we need to have a vision of where we want to be 20 years from now, mm-hmm. and also, as importantly, where we don't want to be.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back to what you started off with, and that was after the STEM school shooting, I had a mother that reached out to me, and she said, Kim, I'm absolutely terrified when I drop my kids off at school whether or not I will pick them up. And she said, I really hadn't voice that with any of the other moms that I hang with, and I finally did, and she said, that is a feeling that we all have. And in fact, we're going to do one of our salon series in April on school safety and suicide prevention, or youth suicide prevention. But you stepped up really kind of front and center after the STEM shooting, you know, started to wrestle with how can we keep our kids safe. And so did you chair that particular?
I chaired that committee, and in fact, Commissioner Laura Thomas, we probably hadn't spoken 5 minutes in the 8 years I've been here, but mm-hmm. we happened to be at a mutual friend's house for burgers on a Friday, which was the Friday after the shooting. Mm-hmm. And I have a fairly blessed and rich background in counterterrorism and so forth. And so she said, hey, would you be interested in chairing this committee? And of course, you can't say no to those kind of things because mm-hmm. it's that important. I think relative to a vision and to your point, I think we would all agree that the roads could be paved in gold. And if those type of things are happening in our society and our community, we have work to do.
For sure. So I looked at your website. What is your website so people can get more
information? My website is electclint.com.
Okay, electclint.com. Tell us a bit about you. I think about our children and wanting to keep them safe and a vision for a county, you've got a pretty rich resume here. So tell our listeners a bit about you.
So just a little bit. I started out about 30 years ago as an enlisted guy in the Army doing six-man team special ops or covert ops type missions overseas had the opportunity to excel, as some might say, and ended up winning being awarded a Bronze Star from Operation Desert Storm. And
thank you.
And those experiences taught me how to communicate and lead by example and lead from the front. And those things have done really well for me over the course of 30 years, whether it was being the number one manager for 3 years running in the Boeing company across the entire company, or whether it was being pulled out of Boeing to go run the lunar lander program underneath the Bush administration.
You ran that whole program?
I ran the lunar lander component of it, yes,
wow.
Ma'am. So that was a pretty neat, pretty interesting opportunity, and had Apollo astronauts in my office every month. I mean, how amazing is that?
That's pretty cool.
And then subsequently, after the Obama administration killed the program, was fortunate enough to go over to the Pentagon and worked for a three-star general, and we ran a $12 billion counterterrorism program for Afghanistan. And, you know, it was just an amazing opportunity, and you really stretch yourself in those type of situations. But we literally had the checkbook of the entire Department of Defense and saved $12 billion worth of funds, taxpayer dollars, and redirected those towards prioritizing things in combat, and we pulled hundreds of tons of homemade explosives off the battlefield with some of that technology that we brought to the table.
You know, one of my other shows that I do is I have America's veteran stories. And I have interviewed over 120 World War II veterans, starting to add in Korea because, you know, those guys are in their late 80s and 90s, and then adding in Vietnam. But I want to add in the younger guys as well. But that has been something for our younger guys, these explosives that have been on the battlefield that, I mean, that's really been a tough thing for our soldiers.
It has been. That's been the leading cause of death, right, for our soldiers in the past 20 years. And you know, back in the Vietnam era, if you will, we would have hundreds of thousands of dead soldiers, sailors, Marines, and airmen if it weren't for modern technology as well as modern medical technology. And so now we talk about the deceased, if you will, but we have millions of young people running around this country that have either missing limbs or traumatic brain injury and so forth. And so there's a lot of work that we need to continue to do there as well to support the veterans.
Okay. Anything else? Because I would just actually recommend that people go to your website, and that is electclint.com, right?
Correct.
Electclint.com, so that they can get to know you a little bit more. Let's talk some more about your vision on Douglas County. And, you know, we're losing a lot of our kids also to suicide in, you know, across the spectrum. But that is something that is happening in Douglas County. And how would you speak to that, Clint?
Yes, I appreciate you bringing that up. That's really one of the main emphasis areas, if you will, for my family. We feel like that's kind of our family mission in Douglas County, if you will. And so when we started looking at a vision and speaking with pastors around the country, I mean around the county, as to what a vision should be for the county, we came up with make it the best place in America to raise a family. And it was really because of this suicide problem we have, right? Because we all know that this gorgeous place called Douglas County is already one of the top-rated places in the world, in the country to live. Mm-hmm. But when the leading cause of death of kids 10 to 24 is suicide, then
we need to take a gut check. What's going on here?
That's correct. And so part of that to me, and I appreciate you bringing this up in this public forum, is that we have to shed the light of day on that, mm-hmm. right? We tend to hide things like that. Even in our churches, we hush that up and let's not talk about that. That might be hurtful. And I think that's contrary to our biblical principles of, you know, light being the best disinfectant, if you will. So I think we can come up with, and some people don't appreciate that I talk about these things as a potential commissioner, but I look at that commissioner role from a leadership perspective. I don't look at that from a writing checks perspective, mm-hmm. but if you're a leader, mm-hmm. you attack hard problems and you lead your community. Mm-hmm. So I see that opportunity as bringing our churches and our communities and our school districts and so forth together in order to solve these complicated and difficult problems. I can probably put my 15-year-old, you know, in a room and ask him to give a thumbs up or thumbs down on filling potholes. I don't think that's complicated for us to figure out.
You know, Clint, I served for 4 years on City Council of Lone Tree, and so it was really interesting to watch that. And so many people, you know, get into serving in public office, and I think that then they get to the point of they say, I want to make a difference, and I find those words different than leadership. And of course, leadership based on these principles of, let me see if I can get this, Steve, of these inalienable rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and that all men are created equal. How did I do on that one, Steve?
Yeah, and who's responsible for it all? The thing?
The creator.
Oh, okay, good.
You got it.
You passed.
Okay. But what I have found is that sometimes I think that people get into public office and they think that they need to be putting in policies to create revenue for the county so that they can fill potholes or things like that. And I realize that, you know, America was founded on a vision, on an idea. And I think that a vision is very important, Clint.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, biblically, the Bible tells us without a vision, surely you will perish. So it's fairly fundamental, right? It's foundational. You know, there are things that are absolutely necessary from a commissioner perspective relative to, we have a half, basically a half-billion-dollar budget. Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, I've got plenty of experience of running budgets that are 20 times that size. So I think I may know a little bit about running budgets and the right questions to ask. We also have to worry about transportation, right? That's 50% of the budget or the expenditure every year for Douglas County. So making sure that contractors are on schedule and on cost is really important. Well, once again, running lunar lander programs and budgets are big programs out of the Pentagon, I'm probably would be able to do that pretty decently as well. Things like safety and security are very important from a commissioner perspective. And so when you look at everyone in the counties has a bunch of personal data that the county maintains. We need to be worried about cybersecurity. We need to be worried about cybersecurity for our infrastructure. I don't want to look north to Denver to protect our water supply, to protect our, you know, solely on their back to protect what we have or what we need in order to survive. Natural resources is obviously a big hot button for folks relative to water, right? So as we have a fairly explosive development in our region down south of Denver, I feel very passionate about the need to make sure we have a plan for water. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to stop economic development, if you will, but I think we also need to look at things like why wouldn't we have a Douglas County Technology Center, right? Why drive an hour south down to the Springs or an hour north up to Denver for high-paying jobs? That's just time away from the family unit. Mm-hmm. I can't think of any more conservative principle than the American family. Mm-hmm. So if mom or dad are sitting in traffic, then that's a road problem we need to fix. If they're driving an hour to get to work because that's the only job they can get that pays the bills, let's bring high-paying jobs into the county.
Okay. Well, Clint, we're just about out of time to just totally focus on you during this show. What's kind of the last thing you'd want to make sure that our listeners know about you?
You know, I think that I'm not running for county commissioner because I need a title. I feel blessed that I've had plenty. Mm-hmm. I'm not running for county commissioner because I need a job or the salary. It's a it may be a slight decrease in what it takes to pay the bills as it is, but I'm running for county commissioner because I see a need and I see a vision that surprisingly we haven't had for everybody in the county. So it's all 355,000 people in the county. That's what I'm trying to do is serve everybody.
Okay. And that website again is electclint.com, electclint.com. And we're going to go over, Jason McBride is on the line. And yesterday was a crazy day in the market again, Jason.
Well, it was a crazy good day, Kim.
A crazy good day. It was up yesterday. So tell us about that.
Well, it's interesting. Yesterday, the Dow was up about 5.09%. It was a big up day, so that's good news. There's always kind of the other side of it, Kim, and people get excited about the big up days. They're fun, but keep in mind that I'm going all the way back to 1982 up until the present day, and three out of the four best days that we've had in the markets over pretty much the last, 40 years have happened during, you know, brutal corrections or full-on bear markets. So you tend to get those big up days when the market is in trouble and you have a lot of volatility.
Interesting. So what do you think this means?
Well, I'm not sure it means anything yet. A couple of other interesting things, although yesterday it was the biggest point gain the Dow had ever had, Kim. It didn't even crack the top 10 as far as the best up day. So here, this is just kind of fun. What do you know which day was the best day the Dow ever had, percentage-wise?
I don't. I should, but I don't.
I wouldn't expect you should. I'm having fun with you. It was March 15th, 1933. The Dow was up 15% Ooh. That day.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So a lot of the big moves, the really big percentage moves, came back during kind of the Great Depression era, and that was both on the upside and the downside. Now, of course, I'll ask you, what do you think was the worst single day we've ever had?
The day before?
The day before?
Yeah.
Yesterday?
No,
it was October 19th, 1987. which was the big stock market crash when the Dow was down almost 23% in one day.
I actually remember that. I should have known that. That was quite a day.
That's a crash. Now, that was difficult because, you know, Reagan was in office. You know, all of Jimmy Carter's policies had finally kicked in 1982, causing the market to go on a huge rally. And then, you know, it dropped 22% in 1987, but that was Reagan's fault.
Aha, okay.
You know, it was all Carter's doing up till that day.
Right, right, right. So
yeah, I figured you were going to catch that joke there.
I did catch it, but I'm wondering if everybody else did as well. So, so Jason, with all this, I so highly recommend that people sit down with you and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management and do a discovery session so that when we're in these volatile times, you can sleep better at night. And so the best way to do that is to give you guys a call at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600, or Jason, what is our landing page together?
Well, it's still airpresidential.com. That's airpresidential.com. And Kim, you're right. It's good to have someone that can be a steady hand, but it's also important for you as an individual or as, you know, your family to have a good idea of what type of investor you are. You know, a lot of people have been through corrections before, like, you know, two pretty bad ones, and you should have a pretty good idea how you're going to react at this point. And, you know, think about how you have your things set up overall and, you know, really ask yourself, is there any reason that you would react differently this time around? Has your personality changed? Has your emotions changed? Probably not. So past history can give you a clue to future behavior, especially in the human psyche.
Okay, that's a very good point. So, Jason, people should give you a call, 303-694-1600. After 7:30, Natalie will be at the switchboards. We will talk to you tomorrow. Thank you so much.
Have a great show, Kim.
Okay, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, Merlin Klotz is on the line. He is the perfect person to talk to about caucuses, the presidential primary. There's a lot of questions out there. He is the Douglas County Clerk and Recorder, so we're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Merlin Klotz.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. On the line with me is Merlin Klotz. He is the Douglas County Clerk and Recorder. He is the perfect gentleman to ask questions about this presidential primary that is happening today, Super Tuesday in Colorado, as well as the caucuses, which are going to occur on Saturday. Merlin, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you, Kim.
So there's a lot of questions out there, Merlin. First of all, about the presidential primary. Today is Super Tuesday. Colorado takes part in that. I don't think we used to have a primary. What's going on? People got a ballot. I think there's a lot of questions about what's going on with that.
This is the first time in 20 years that we've got a presidential primary. So it's obvious we got a little bit of confusion. Colorado's got is the safest place to vote. The Federal Elections Commission, the Homeland Security, a number of publications, they point to Colorado as the model. And this year we've got three separate elections as part of that. And we have the presidential primary, which does nothing but select the presidential candidates that will be on the Colorado ballot in November. Now, the second election is the June primary, which selects the congressional and the state candidates and the local candidates that will be on the November ballot.
Okay.
And narrows down the field. And the where the caucus fits in is every citizen's got the option to participate at multiple levels. And at the caucus, it's at a precinct basis, you meet with your neighbors, and you select delegates to county or other assemblies, like assemblies for the state senators or the state house. And those delegates then go to a county assembly, and they then cast their votes for the people who would be on the ballot in November locally or in your county or your house and Senate districts. And at that location, you also have the option to select delegates to go to the state assemblies to select statewide delegates if there are statewide delegates in the race. So it's a multi-step process. And if all you do is participate in elections in November, you've acquiesced a lot of your ability to participate. And so while today is the presidential primary, on Saturday we have the local county or the local caucuses, precinct caucuses. You can go to your party websites and check the locations of them. In Douglas County, the Republican caucuses are in the morning and the Democrat caucuses are in the afternoon, generally in the same locations. But again, check your local party website to see exactly where your precinct meets.
So what if somebody is unaffiliated, an unaffiliated voter?
Okay. You had to affiliate with the party 22 days before the caucus in order to participate in the caucus. You can come and watch it, but you cannot be a voting member if you haven't affiliated.
And that means either you declare that you are a Democrat or a Republican. So you can
Correct.
Come and watch the caucus process. You can come and watch the caucus process. What about if you are unaffiliated regarding the presidential primary?
Okay. Let's go back to the presidential primary, a little bit on how that works. It's kind of a confusing situation to a lot of people, and operationally, it's interesting, shall we say.
With a capital I, probably, right?
yes. Fortunately, I have great people. The way it works, if you are a Republican, you get a Republican ballot. If you are a Democrat, you get a Democrat ballot. If you are unaffiliated, you get both, and you have to pick one. If you vote on both of them and return them in, it doesn't count. But you have, as an unaffiliated, you have the option of picking either one. If you're a member of the Green Party, you don't get any. It's kind of a interesting situation, shall we say.
Or a Libertarian, you wouldn't get either one either. Okay, so if you've affiliated with a party, then you're not going to get anything on the primary ballots. But if you're unaffiliated, you'll get both ballots, Democrat and Republican. You can choose to vote one or the other. What if somebody didn't understand the process and they cannot find their ballot? Today is Super Tuesday. Do they have any other options on how they could vote?
Get to one of our polling places, and if you have a question on those, go to douglasvotes.com, and the polling places are all available there.
Okay, so just let's try to see if we can make this a little simpler for people. Today is Super Tuesday, and if you are Democrat, you received a Democrat presidential ballot. And, of course, some of the people probably on that ballot have dropped out by now, Merlin, I would imagine, because those ballots went out a while back, didn't they?
Oh, yes. Okay. In fact, you're leading up to the question. I'm going to read for you the press release from the Secretary of State on this. Now, keep in mind that even though someone may have put out a press release that I am dropping out or I am suspending my campaign, which are not exactly the same, until they file a form with Colorado, they are still a Colorado voter. or still a Colorado candidate.
Got it. Okay.
And so when we report, as of now, there are only two candidates that have filed that form. Bennett's one, and I don't remember the name of the other one. But anyway, this we will not report those two. Now, if by 3 o'clock this afternoon others file that form, then we will not report those in the totals. But if they're reported in totals, then they may be part of the allocation that the particular parties use.
Okay, and, so an example might be Amy Klobuchar, who suspended her campaign yesterday, but if she's not filed that paperwork with the state of Colorado and she receives votes here in Colorado, then that will be reported that she got X amount of votes. Am I following you on that?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Just for simplicity, let me read the press release from the Secretary of State yesterday.
Okay.
And she says, with the Democrat presidential primary field changing, Colorado Secretary of State Jana Griswold reminds voters that if they have already returned a ballot for a candidate who has withdrawn, they are not able to vote again. Voters who have filled out a ballot but not returned it can change their selection by crossing off the name of their first pick and marking the oval next to their preferred candidate before dropping it in a drop box or returning it in person. Or these voters can get a new ballot and vote in person at a voter service and polling center. To check ballot status or to find your nearest voter service and polling center, please visit govotecolorado.gov. So we've had some inquiries about that. You know, I already voted and want to change my vote. Well, I'm sorry, but operationally,
that's impossible.
Once it goes in the drop box, we very quickly separate the ballot from the envelope, and at that point, there's no way to correlate the two, and go find your ballot somewhere, or your vote somewhere in that mix.
Right. Okay. So, hey, we're going to go to break, Merlin. And so, and really, these are kind of two different processes. And so, we talked about the presidential primary, and you can go to govotecolorado.gov for more information. Today is the presidential primary. If you're a Democrat, you've received a Democrat ballot. If you're a Republican, you've received a Republican ballot. If you're any other party, you've not received a ballot. If you're unaffiliated, you've received both ballots. You can only vote one of them. These ballots are due back today. If you can't find it, you can go to a voting center, and you can actually vote there. And that's the presidential primary. Then we're going to talk a little bit more about the caucuses in the next segment, trying to clarify for our listeners on how that works. So this is Kim Munson. I'm talking with Merlin Klotz. He is the Douglas County Clerk and Recorder. We will be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, Kim Munson. That's MONSON.com. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I have on the line with me Merlin Klotz. He is the Douglas County Clerk and Recorder. And talking about the presidential primary as well as the caucus process. And Clint Doris is in studio. He has thrown his hat in the ring for Douglas County Commissioner. And Clint, you had a comment during the break about when Merlin had mentioned that we have really safe elections here in Colorado.
That's correct. So from a cybersecurity perspective, as Merlin will tell the audience here, there's no connectivity through the internet, if you will, to our election system. So that makes it very secure. And certainly I'll plug Merlin and the team in that. They also allow citizens to come down and actually take a tour. And I believe they call it Life of a Ballot. I took my three oldest children on Friday to that. Mm-hmm. So I would recommend certainly everybody out there in the audience to consider checking that out, especially with their kids, right? It's important for our kids to get involved and to understand how this process works. And Merlin and his team do a fantastic job there in Douglas County.
Yeah, and Merlin, I came down and did that before the election in November. Explain to our listeners just a little bit about what you've done there. And I think there's a video also, isn't there, Merlin?
Yes, thanks for the compliment, Clint. What makes Colorado, and this is not just Douglas County, but Colorado, a safe place to vote, the three factors. One is the all-paper ballot. Every ballot is in paper, and so it's auditable, and we have to keep those on file for 25 months. Another factor that keeps the safe place is the central voter registration system. And by that, the voter registration files are maintained at the Secretary of State's office, and I've got about six people that year-round are updating those records, from Department of Health death certificates to the mail updates, and they're perpetually updated and kept current. But it also, by a central voter registration database, you can't be registered in three different counties. And in most states, voter registration files are maintained at the county level. But periodically, they may merge them and compare them at the state level. But ours are all real-time at the state level. The other piece then is the all mail. Okay, Kim, I'm interrupting you.
Well, my question is I've seen how well Douglas County is run, and maybe this is a tough question to answer, but can we have confidence that all the other counties are run like you, like you run Douglas County, or is that may not be something you know?
Well, all counties are supposed to be run this way, and the Secretary of State's office is like flies on any county that deviates.
Got it. Okay.
I've got ultimate confidence there. The all-mail ballot is also a strong piece, because that means that there's a one-to-one relationship between you and that envelope, that ballot that comes to you. It isn't a matter of reaching in the file and pulling one out randomly for you to vote. And so with those three things, and then on top of that, when you get to what Clint mentioned, when the ballots come in, they're processed at a central room that is isolated from the rest of the world. There's no internet connection from that room to the rest of the world. You want to hack it? Try. There's no connection. Bring it on. And that's true across the state. An air gap, as they call it, is required between that equipment and the rest of the world. So it all comes together and to make a very seamless operation. Now, when we went to the all-mail ballot, and we previously had been voting on machines with little electronic cards in the side of them at various places, we sent back three semi-loads of equipment, and those were all equipment that was dispersed around the county, and I personally didn't have that much faith that you were secure with that much equipment in various locations.
Okay. Well, are you still there, Merlin?
I'm still
okay,
here.
Okay. I thought I lost you for just a minute. Let's talk a little bit more about this caucus process then that's going to happen on Saturday. Hopefully people understand the presidential primary, and that's separate. Now, the caucus process is it's just a meeting of coming together with your neighbors and saying, hey, I like this guy to have his name on the ballot for, you know, XYZ or whatever. And then people vote on who those delegates will be that will go to the state and the county assembly. And then from there, people throw their hat in the ring to be a delegate to the state assembly. So the caucus process then on Saturday, it's really important for people to engage. And it probably won't take that long, what, an hour or two of people's time?
We've basically got the morning, probably about 2 hours time, typically. And you'll have candidates like Clint or their representatives will be trying to hit as many caucus rooms as they can and give their pitch on why they should be a good candidate and why you should be selecting people who support them for the higher assemblies. So it's the very bottom beginning point of getting people on the ballot. You can wait to November and vote for who I selected, or you can get involved with the caucus and help select who's on that ballot.
Okay. Now, one other question, Merlin. My understanding is there's a way, you know, to go, they call going through the caucus process, but then there's also a way for people to petition on the ballots. Is that correct? There's another way to do that.
There's nothing a candidate can petition on the ballot, but you lose a lot of momentum if you're strictly going the petition route.
You have to get signatures and to do that though, right?
Right. And it depends on the office how many signatures you get. For a county office, it's like 1,000 signatures. For other offices, the number can vary.
Okay, Clint, you had a comment.
I did. I just wanted to, encourage the citizens to get out to caucus. Right. Bring your children. Help them to understand the process. I appreciate the caucus approach that we do right now, because I feel like that's really the way the founding fathers got together and determined who they were going to, put forward to vote on. And so I think it's an important part of the process. And of course, it matters if we have people show up. So I certainly encourage people to get involved in this process.
There's one other twist this year. New legislation that went in House Bill 1278 last year, that if you are a 17-year-old and will turn 18 before the November election, you can participate both in the presidential primary and the caucus process.
So kids that are 17 that had declared either Democrat or Republican or affiliated,
yes,
they receive,
yes,
this presidential primary ballot, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
And then they could come to any of these caucus meetings this weekend, and they could cast a vote. They'd have to be either Democrat or Republican to do that, to go through the caucus process.
Yeah. There's some nuances as far as some of the other selections in there, as far as precinct leaders and things like that, that they may or not be eligible for, but depending on, there's a bunch of dates involved, but the 17-year-old can participate, and that's if they're going to be turn 18 before the November election.
Okay, that's very interesting. Merlin, we're just about out of time on this. It's complicated and it's not. How many caucuses, for example, Douglas County, where I live, how many caucuses will there be on Saturday?
We have 168 precincts.
Okay.
Each of them has their own caucus.
And how can people figure out where they need to go then on Saturday morning?
Okay. I would go to your party website, and the party website should have all the caucus locations for your precinct.
Okay. And what if somebody doesn't know their precinct? How can they figure that out?
Then go to douglasvotes.com, and from there you can link to your registration, and your precinct will be available there.
Okay, so the process would be go to douglascountyvotes.com. Is that right? Is that what you said?
Douglasvotes.com.
Douglasvotes.com. You can put your name in. You'll get your voter registration information. It'll say which precinct you're in, right? Am I following this? And then you will go to either the Democrat or Republican website for your county, and it'll have where all those caucuses are, and typically like they're at schools or something in your community. And would highly recommend that people dedicate a couple of hours this Saturday morning and be part of this process, because Merlin, I have a lot of people that say politics, or I'm not into politics, but as I watch what's happening, politics is into you, and you need to make sure that you are involved in the process. That's the American idea, is that we have representative government, and that you have a civic duty to make sure you know who you are electing to represent you. So, Merlin Klotz, I so thank you for this. What's your final thought?
I think you said it well. Either you participate in the process and at any level you possibly can. You have up to 4, 5, 6 different levels you can participate in the process of selecting the candidates, or else you go to the poll in November and you get to pick between the votes, the candidates that Clinton and I and you and other people have selected.
Okay. And again, the website you'd recommend people to go to, Merlin?
DouglasVotes.com. It's got a lot. There's a lot of FAQs on there for a lot of questions that people might have. That's our central point for our Douglas County for elections.
Okay. Well, Merlin Klotz, thank you so much. And Clint Doris, it's just been really great to have you in studio as well. You are running for Douglas County Commissioner, and that is electclint.com. Your quick final thought.
Just greatly appreciate being here, and thank you to Merlin and all the other elected officials in Douglas County that actually do a fantastic job keeping us what we have.
Most definitely. So thank you, Merlin. Thank you, Clint. And our quote for today is from Jack Welch. He says, a leader's job is to look into the future and see the organization, not as it is, but as it should be. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry.